The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Hi, welcome, good morning. All right, I want to start off the hour by playing this audio cut. This was on Tucker Carlson, all right? Now, it was not Tucker arguing or giving that look as he does with somebody who was completely and totally clueless.
The Tucker look?
The Tucker look.
Where his eyebrows are going, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
His guest, Tammy Bruce, well-known conservative talk show host, and Heather McDonald, who wrote the book, The Diversity Delusion. Heather McDonald is also, she came really to the forefront and became part of the public media during the entire police brutality and police commit murders and police murder young black men to a greater degree. She's the one that crunched all the numbers on that and said what's really, really, really happening in police interactions today, and went through all the different figures from the FBI, police forces, and everything else, and just showed that's not what's happening. And so she has become an extremely controversial figure at that point.
Yeah.
She has also jumped on and talked about the diversity delusion and gone on to attack what's going on in our college campuses today. But he asked both of them, starting out with Heather McDonald, about the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh.
How should we assess these claims, both in the New Yorker story and from Christine Ford?
Well, with our traditional standards of justice, obviously, what we're looking at right now, Tucker, is the arrival of campus culture into the world at large, and it is not a pretty sight. It's a combination of rank ignorance, of what an extraordinary accomplishment it was to develop standards of due process. You referred to medieval trials by ordeal and the presumption of guilt. What we're hearing from students and these senators, they have no knowledge of what we have, with difficulty and the work of centuries, moved away from to assure fairness to the accused. And what we're also seeing is the victim ideology that holds that females everywhere are necessarily the victims of male patriarchy and a rape culture. That is false. It is pure ideology, but this type of mass hysteria is the norm on campus, and it has now taken over the world at large. And as you say, we are on a very dangerous slippery slope towards government oppression and mass injustice.
Tammy Bruce, do you agree with that?
Yes. This interview you just had was shocking. You've got now Brett Kavanaugh effectively being used as a stand-in for all perpetrators. And I think something happened to Ms. Ramirez and Dr. Ford. And they are slotting Judge Kavanaugh into the perpetrator framework. And in the name of women and many who have not ever had justice and have never had closure, and effectively this is what the Democrats are admitting. And what your guest said effectively was that so many women have not been believed or have been heard. And that is unfair, and we've got to fix it. But we're not going to fix it by becoming fascists and by blaming every man and presuming every man is guilty. Americans have to ask themselves a very basic question. Is this fair? Is this a fair framework for everyone involved? The Me Too movement at this point has been hijacked. That was a nonpartisan movement that women could relate to. This is now being used as a weapon. Clearly, it's been weaponized at this point.
There you go. And that's both Tammy Bruce and Heather McDonald on with Tucker Carlson. And by the way, Heather McDonald is also the one who has done the research on the whole, because she had mentioned it, the whole rape culture that, you know, rape on campuses and everything else. And she's been the one that's done the research and just said that's not true. Right. None of this is true. It's a hysteria that's being created, you know, on the left, that it's an epidemic of rates. And so she now works for the Manhattan Institute, but she has become an extremely controversial figure on the left because she uses statistics and figures to back up what she sees as going out there. And as she has always said, she didn't come to the fight as an ideologue looking to find, you know, what, and that's what she's been accused of. She's an ideologue trying to find the numbers that fit her narrative. She said just the opposite. She came at it as somebody who was looking strictly at the numbers and came to the conclusion based on what the numbers have said. But I think what Tammy Bruce said, that Brett Kavanaugh, and you've heard this, I've seen it on social media. I pointed out to you, I think I pointed out to you the other night off the air, the one that said, well, doesn't matter whether the men are innocent, it's that women have suffered. And if women have suffered, then some men have to suffer too.
Right.
That he has become basically the imagery and symbolism of evil men. Just because he can be.
Well, because it also has another purpose, and so we can serve both purposes here. And how is that fair? Destroy a man's life, especially when you know there's nothing behind it. I don't know what happened to Ms. Ford, Ms. Ramirez. I have no idea. I don't. What I know is that if you're going to make a claim, especially the timing of this claim, both claims, then you should know that you're going to have to bring something substantial forward. And the stories themselves don't even hold. When the New York Times, in the Ramirez case, the New York Times interviews several dozen people and cannot find one person with firsthand knowledge, you've got a problem. There is a major issue. I don't wish that victims of sexual abuse or assault to be shut down, shut away, ignored, or any of that. But if you're going to make a claim, then you're going to have to bring something forward and expect people to ask questions, because you're not beyond reproach. This is exactly the way it would happen if you were reporting a crime. I've seen it happen, because the investigators have to do a job. They have to know exactly what happened. You're reporting a crime, they will ask you all the details, and those details have to add up before they can start any investigation. If your story, as somebody who's reporting the crime, doesn't add up, that's the first thing any investigator, any trained investigator, is going to know. Well, wait a minute. I don't believe this person is telling me the whole truth. And so this is where we are. And now you have, and as we've learned from Ronan Farrow in the Ramirez case, the Democrats sought that out. They went looking for that. Now, you had a top Democrat who had the Ford letter as of July 30th and chose to do nothing about it. The vetting process was underway, and she chose to do nothing about it. Tell me that is not playing politics, Senator Feinstein. Of course it is. And you're accusing the right of playing politics. You had a choice. You made a choice on July 30th. Not to seek out the advice or to even make it known to the chairman of that committee. It wasn't until days ago that Grassley even was fully aware of the entire content of that letter.
You know, I think the bigger picture beyond just the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation is what both Heather McDonald and Tammy Bruce talked about, which was the college campus culture, which is fascism. Mm-hmm. And think about this. You and I have talked about this many times before with little debate. And very little debate from the left because they're the ones that pushing it. I remember when we talked to Occupy Wall Street when that was going on about them believing that not everybody has free speech rights. Mm-hmm. Only some people have free speech rights. Mm-hmm. Well, free speech exists for a reason in the Constitution. We know that they don't believe in free speech, the First Amendment. We don't, and including when it comes to freedom of religion and the First Amendment also. We know they won't believe in the Second Amendment. And something that you and I picked up a couple of years ago when we started saying, when you actually look at Democrats and the way that they operate, and this is another perfect example, they also don't believe in the concept of due process.
Right.
They don't believe in the spirit of due process. What we've heard many times was, well, there is no due process here because this is a job. It's not a court of law. No, it's not a court of law, but the due process and the spirit of due process of having facts to back up what you say before you accuse somebody of something, that spirit, and as Heather McDonald talked about and Tammy Bruce talked about, this is something that civilization and cultures tried to get to for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And then it was, you know, the breakthrough was the U.S. Constitution, which then has been followed by so many civilized countries around the world. And now the Democrats wish to say that due process means nothing and the spirit of due process means nothing. And the accusation itself that and by the way, a serious accusation now, any accusation of sexual assault is serious, but now serious has become credible. Well, serious does not become credible unless you have the evidence to make it credible. And when we look at our judicial system and when you look at how we all deal with, even in the workplace, how we deal with it, how the Human Resources Department deals with it, how you judge other people, even outside of the criminal or civil justice system. It is by the evidence. Americans view that, and Tammy Bruce said it, is it fair? Americans do care about fairness from the judicial system. Americans get angry when a CEO or a politician can get away with something, and they clearly get away with it when the evidence is there. For example, Hillary Clinton. We knew the evidence was there because we could tell you what law she broke and nobody could debate it. And we could cite that portion of the law and see what she did that everybody agreed upon. That was evidence. Evidence is extremely important. Evidence is it. Evidence is the be all end all. And in cases like this, it's forensics and witnesses. And that's what most cases come down to, the forensic, the science behind it. And you know, the science behind a crime scene and the witnesses to that actual crime. And the Democrats are willing to throw that right out. But no surprise, the Democrats are willing to throw out free speech. They're willing to throw out freedom of religion. They're willing to throw out the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. It's no surprise that they'd be willing to just chuck due process. Sorry, no. And the interesting thing is, and I do believe this was intentional, because look, fascists know they're fascists. But I do believe that the whole Antifa, Antifa, that we're anti-fascists and you're a fascist, as they're throwing at, think about this, the people that went in to go after Ted Cruz at that restaurant. Mm-hmm. They go in believing that Ted Cruz, are screaming that Ted Cruz is a fascist. They're the ones that have gone into private property and disrupted, in essence, breaking the law. They could have harassed him on. They could have harassed him anywhere else, at a speech, whatever, where on the street, whatever. They chose a restaurant to do it. They call him a fascist, yet they are the ones with the mindset of a fascist, and that's what people should never forget. But you have to ask yourself a question if you're an independent or a Democrat. Does due process and the spirit of due process matter to you? Does the Constitution right. matter to you? Does the and think about this. Is evidence required before you make a judgment on someone? And if it doesn't, then you're as bad as anybody, any totalitarian dictatorship, any Nazi regime, any fascist regime that exists, because they all start with that mindset that evidence doesn't matter, due process doesn't matter, it only matters that I get my way. You want fascism? You got it right there. And who's leading with it? The leaders of the Democrat Party.
The ones actually using it and putting it to action. Yep. They're the ones that are using it right now in the real world.
Absolutely.
You think about the protesters that are out there. And the call by lawmakers like Maxine Waters to keep it going. Shut them down at every chance. Protest at every... It's not just about a peaceful protest. It's about shouting you out of the building. You can't enjoy a dinner. We won't let you.
866. If you want to get in, we do have a line open. 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's crucial that you keep your truck and yourself cool. One of the most important parts of your vehicle's AC system is the evaporator. This component works with the other vital parts of the AC system to remove heat from the inside of your vehicle. The evaporator allows the refrigerant to absorb heat, causing it to boil and vaporize, and during this process, the vapor is moved onto the compressor. This cools your cab and reduces the amount of heat inside the vehicle. Because air is forced across the evaporator by the blower motor, a filter is used to help keep this air clean. This evaporator filter must be changed in a timely manner or you risk your evaporator freezing up, which could harm your AC compressor. If you experience any issues with your AC system, stop by a truck service location near you to have it looked at by one of our expert technicians.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Mike in Nashville. Mike, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you. Morning, gentlemen.
Hi. Good morning.
I want to say thank you. You guys give me something to look forward to when I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and start my route.
Really? You must have no life at all then. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, Mike. Thanks.
I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and drive a truck. So. Well,
thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Not a problem. I want to talk a minute on this Kavanaugh issue. I want to tie a few key points in that you guys have been talking about tonight. You guys are talking about this whole issue with Brett Kavanaugh and exciting the Republican base, exciting the conservative base. I do believe that this whole debacle, this whole show that they're putting on is definitely the American people are seeing this. They're getting disgusted with it, and it's going to drag them out to the polls. What I don't think a lot of people realize is it's not just the conservatives and the Republicans. I'm from North Central Ohio. I've got a lot of Democrats in my family. Upon talking to them over the past few weeks, they're seeing this whole debacle. They're getting disgusted with their own party. And I've talked to a few of my aunts that I'm really close with, and yeah, they're Democrats, but we managed to get along. They've even told me that they're going out to vote, and they're probably not going to vote Democrat because they're seeing how their party's reacting, how they're treating people, how everything is going on, and they're disgusted with their own party. So yeah. I think what the Democrats are failing to realize is that they're alienating themselves from their own base.
Well, you know, you make a great point because the discussion's been out there. The polling shows that millennials are not energized to vote, the vast majority of them Democrat, and you wonder if across the board this exists in many Democrats, and something like this going on doesn't, you know, just de-energizes them and makes it so they, you know, really don't want to vote.
Well, because then that becomes what? Potentially, we don't know if it will actually happen, but the silent majority.
Mm-hmm.
They never follow the company code of conduct. Whoa. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye, as we talk about the allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. We go to Tom in Vista, California. Tom, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. Good morning to you both. I haven't listened to a lot of talk radio in months because same circus and same childish. And anyways, without putting a name to anything, I live with people like that, the ones that are college educated, some of them old enough to have carried the posters, the repressive government and everything else. And I was telling your screener, I pose to one, and I treat them with respect. They have their opinions. They're entitled to that. I mentioned her. I said, isn't it funny that it seems like the things you were attempting to oppose during the 60s movement is the exact oppressive type thing you're practicing right now? And they couldn't respond. It baffled them. And, of course, their first response seems to be to marginalize, minimalize, discredit anybody that doesn't speak the same words. They're very close-minded people.
You know, who said that a couple of years ago, and thanks so much for your call, was Camille Paglia, the well-known liberal, old-school liberal. Sorry, you're old school. Mm-hmm. And she's been blunt about it. You know, she's a liberal from the 60s, doesn't recognize a liberal from today. Liberal today has gone from, they still feel they're oppressed, but they've gone from wanting to stop oppression to being the oppressors.
Well, it went from, peaceful protest to, back in the day, it would have been, okay, you have a protest, then you put together the movement, you then back candidates to bring about the change. Well, now you just shout the candidates that you don't like out of their restaurant. Because the question is, where does it really get to the point of bringing about change? Well, it doesn't. Unless you were to back a candidate, I don't know, we'll call her Ocasio-Cortez, who wants to bring about change. But really, what is the only thing that she's promoting? It's the free stuff. It's the socialism. It's not necessarily, I'm sure she's a part of it. I know that she agrees with a lot of the protesters out there, but that's really not her game. Her game is promoting what?
Free stuff.
Free stuff. So that, it's not even to that extent with her. Gillum is the same way in Florida. So you have to ask yourself, if you're going to be part of a movement, what is it going to do? You hope to get the attention of lawmakers or, at some point, have a lawmaker support your cause, or maybe support a lawmaker that you know supports your cause, to bring about that change in our society. That's the way it was done. But no longer. It's not about them being heard. It's that you can't be heard. And there's the difference. Back in the day, it was about what? Having a voice. It was about being heard. Now it's about making sure the other side is not heard. Shouting you down, shaming you out of a restaurant. Not that I believe Senator Cruz felt ashamed. He probably said to himself the same thing we said. Wow, this is going to really help my campaign. But it is a very different mentality. Because that's the difference, is that it's one thing if you want your voice to be heard. It's something totally different if you will go to these lengths to make sure that the other side's voice is never heard. That's fascism.
And that's been something that we have talked about for a long time since you and I have been, together, which is 13 years now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way. Next week was 29 years for me in talk.
Yeah?
Yeah, just realized that.
Yeah, I just celebrated 35 years in radio, 34 years in radio last month, earlier this month. Is it still September? Yeah. But we've always said, I think I know the point you were getting at, don't shut up and sing. We want to hear what you have to say.
Well, we always
want to hear the other side.
We have talked about the, when you look at, for the last caller bringing up the 60s liberals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they were delusional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, a part of that movement was delusional. They believed there was such a thing as free love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that in itself is a delusional thought.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted government to...
That's what the brown acid will do for you.
they wanted government to stay out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
The liberalism of the 60s was more...
Libertarian.
Libertarian,
yeah.
Which was, we don't want...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about government taking care of us. It was just leave us alone. Leave us
right.
alone to do the things that we... Let us alone to do the non-productive things and,
right.
and do the delusional things like believing that there's such a concept of free love.
And if we want to sit around and trip and listen to music all day, it should be none of the government's business.
Right, exactly.
Even Governor Brown said we can't, not everybody can smoke pot. Somebody is going to have to go to work. Some people are going to have to be productive.
Somebody's actually got to do the work. You know, it's funny because I was watching, what is this show on? It's a National Geographic. It's about building big things,
mm-hmm.
about building massive bridges. And I love watching these shows because you get inside the Washington Beltway and nobody really accomplishes anything.
Right.
There are actually people out there, and many of them, these people, are listening to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're driving a truck, whether they're working in a hospital, whether they're working on they're the third ship that works on so many roads out there.
Right.
Somebody
or getting up for the first ship and
right.
headed to get their coffee right now.
Exactly, but yeah. they've got to be, they actually have to be productive, and they have to get things right.
Right.
Every
yeah.
single day, they have to get things right.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get things right, people can be injured or die.
Right.
When you look at it, so I forgot what they call a giant something but they're building, you know, it's mm. whether it's cruise ships or a giant bridge or,
yeah.
or you know, a roadway. I was watching one of them where they were in Venice
mm.
and what they're building this like huge dam that sits on the bottom and comes up to keep high floodwaters from coming in.
Right.
But it only comes up when they need it to come up.
Oh, wow.
And it's this gigantic thing with caissons and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, though, and they show a ton of stuff in America being built, but it's just all over the world. There are people that actually can't BS every day.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually got to produce something, and it's got to be done right.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, your opinion means squat.
Right.
It's what is the truth and what works, end of story. I find watching those shows extremely refreshing in the inside Washington Beltway BS that we have to put up with every day, where the truth doesn't matter, where facts doesn't matter.
Okay.
I find those shows very refreshing.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was trying to put my finger on it over the weekend. I started watching a show on Netflix called Dope. Okay, we've seen this before. It's a documentary-style series. I think A&E Intervention was probably one of those that came to mind, or 48, the first 48, you know, where you're just basically, they've got cameras. In this case, they're following the dealers, the cops, and the users. Baltimore. This one drug dealer, and he's like the kingpin of what, on the street level, of one neighborhood. And he's talking, going, it's sad, man, watching all of these drug addicts. He said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I make money off of them, but I'm talking about otherwise beautiful girls coming here from other states knowing they can get drugs here. And he goes, look at them. And they panned out on the street, and these heroin addicts were walking around like zombies. The most sanity in that entire equation was this drug dealer, a guy who pushes heroin, saying, I wouldn't have a problem if they put me out of business. I'd go find something else to peddle. But this whole thing is about people essentially ruining their lives to the point that they had something like 600 overdoses in Baltimore alone in 2016. In the entire state, just over 2,000 of Maryland in 2016. But 600 overdoses in Baltimore in 2016, that's twice the number of murders. And this guy was in that entire equation. It's all relative. But he was the one that was the most sane. And I thought to myself, when's the last time you even saw a politician on a local level in Baltimore basically point out the reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I was getting. I thought, why in the world does this guy sound like the same one? Is because, remember, after the Freddie Gray thing and the riots. By the way, that's what started a lot of the fentanyl on the streets. They went into those pharmacies and raided those pharmacies. And this massive addiction started in that area. But what did we hear from the politicians? Oh, no. Let them have their riots and let them destroy other people's property. Let them get it out of their system. And I thought to myself, wow, that's insanity when the drug dealer himself is pointing the reality out and acknowledging it, yet the politicians sound like they're on drugs.
Yeah, but to the last caller, you're absolutely right, because we've spent a lot of time talking about how the 60s liberal was completely different. Completely different from
what libertarian
has become today, which is my beliefs must be forced down the throats of somebody else, and if they're not, they should be punished because of it. You're seeing the fascist mindset, and I think Heather McDonald made a great point on Tucker Carlson. You're seeing the fascism that exists on college campuses now spread into the leadership of the Democrat Party.
Yes. And if one man has to pay for the misdeeds of another man, then so be it.
Right.
Even if he's not guilty.
Due process doesn't matter. You want to start a fascist society, you start believing that. And that's what remember, this isn't the fringe of the Democrat Party. This is the mainstream of the Democrat Party.
As you mentioned earlier, the leadership.
The leadership. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Robert in Jackson, Tennessee. Robert, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call, guys, and I appreciate the work you do.
Thank you.
I was calling about Schumer's speech on the floor of the Senate today. He more or less, what I heard, got out of his speech was that the Supreme Court's reputation will be tarnished from now on if Kavanaugh is confirmed because of these accusations. And it's about the same thing that started with some police officers in Ferguson, Missouri. There were lies about them and how that situation spawned protest groups and, you know, all that. And then the ICE, they're talking about abolishing ICE.
Right,
now
exactly.
And I believe he's just starting to set up a way to protest any and all Supreme Court decisions that the Democrats do not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I heard him say today. And that's just a sad day that because Kavanaugh has a constitution in his pocket, a well-worn one, and he said that he's going to go by the text. And I think that was referring to Kennedy changing the meaning of the law on Obamacare. You know, it wasn't what the text of the law was.
Well, that was Roberts.
Kennedy. Yeah. But I think that was a decision that he meant, I'm going to go by what the text of the law is, regardless of who sponsored it or who has the Senate, who has control of the government. This is the Supreme Court. We're a separate entity from those branches, and that's what we do. And I believe the Senate, Schumer, is trying to set up where they can disagree or protest any decision they don't agree with because they believe it's a living, breathing document that can change as times change.
Well, by the way, it can. but it's up to the people through the constitutional process to do it, not the judges. The constitutional amendment process to do it. But I'm so glad you called because you simplified it. What it really is about is the fact that the Democrats don't want a judge in there who will say, look, my job is to interpret the Constitution, not to make law. I'm not a legislator. You didn't vote for me.
Right.
I'm not the people's representative. I'm a Supreme Court judge. I look and see what the law is and say, yes, this is the law. No, this isn't in the law. And here's my decision based on what is in the law. Or if somebody's trying to say this is the law and it's not in the law, then it's not the law.
Right.
My judge is to my job is to interpret, not to create law. Democrats don't want that. They want judges on the liberal side that will make liberal law. It's that simple.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. In the news today,
I'm not going to let false accusations drive us out of this process. And we're looking for a fair process where I can be heard and defend my integrity, my lifelong record of promoting dignity and equality for women, starting with the women who knew me when I was 14 years old. I'm not going anywhere.
There we are. Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh doing the interview with his wife on Fox News last night, stating he's not going anywhere. He's going to fight it, calling the allegation smears against him. Interesting, because you and I had talked about this when the second allegation from Ramirez came along. Ms. Ramirez, we had said yesterday that it was obvious early on that this was a story that, for example, the New York Times wasn't willing to go with, and the New Yorker did. They couldn't get anybody on the record. It's a story, you know, it's interesting because you and I were talking about this. It's amazing because we've been on for 4 hours, but we were talking about this off the air. Mm. And you looked at me, and because we've been in different jobs in radio, and I was a station manager over a very good investigative news department, and your basic comment was, we'd never run with anything like this ever.
Well,
nobody worth their salt in journalism would ever run a story.
No, this is
on hearsay.
Well, because you know that it's going to be picked apart by the media before you ever sit down in front of a lawmaker, your story is going to be shredded by the media. And if there's something there, it will stand. And if it's not, the media is going to lose interest. Now, these two claims have been the story over the last week and a half. Monday, something changed. You and I, through basically, we were, you know, throwing back and forth, you know, the assessment of it yesterday on the program, after this late Sunday allegation on the Ramirez case. Well, you ask the question, have the Democrats overreached here? Ford was one thing. Now you have the Ramirez allegations and then the New York Times coming out late Sunday night and basically telling why they didn't go with the story, and it was very clear. I think it was pretty simple. They talked to, according to the Times, they interviewed several dozen people and could not find one with firsthand knowledge, not one person with firsthand knowledge. And so that story, the Ramirez story, started to fade. And then the overreach questions started to come about during the day on Monday as well. It remains to be seen where either situation goes. We know now Ford's lawyers protesting, sending a letter to the committee, the Senate committee, saying that they have a problem with this unnamed interviewer that they're going to have that's going to be present mm-hmm. at the hearing, and they didn't agree to this, and so now they're issuing this concern. So my question is the hearing even going to happen?
Well, we've always stated that this whole thing of a tentative agreement, well, you really don't have an agreement until you have an agreement, until you've signed off on everything.
Yep.
There isn't an agreement, so we've still wondered whether it's going to go on. We thought the reasoning given by the lawyers, it was was really quite ridiculous, because what they said is, and what Republicans want is, they want a prosecutor, mm-hmm. legal, well, maybe one of their staffers, but somebody who was a prosecutor and an expert on sexual crimes to be able to ask questions to Ms. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, as the New York Times pointed out, that we know that the four women on the Judiciary Committee on the Democrat side aren't even going to ask any questions. They're only going to make statements. You want a circus, you get a circus when nobody's asking questions and everybody's making statements. You and I have talked about the different House and Senate hearings that have gone on
right.
on Russian collusion. And what you have is you've got people making 5-minute speeches and then not even asking a question. Well, if the goal is to get to the truth here, well, don't you want somebody who is an expert on sexual crimes to ask the questions and not the politicians? If your goal is to get to the truth, the same thing that we have said about the lack of transparency that Democrats seem to want, a lack of transparency when it comes to Russian collusion, now that things aren't going that way. Who did the story yesterday? Somebody did the story on...
Hmm.
Oh, is it interesting that the New York Times all of a sudden is talking about the fact that they don't want... there it is. This was Weekly Standard. Why is the New York Times suddenly opposed to declassifying the FISA documents? In February, one reporter filed to have information about Carter Page warrant released. Now, the paper worries about security concerns. What happened?
Right.
You know, and again, this is where you get into the hypocrisy of the media. But as we've said, if you want transparency, if you want to get down to, if you're actually a senator and concerned with the facts, do you say, we're all going to make speeches? Or we're going to bring somebody in who's actually a prosecutor, who has knowledge of sex crimes, who will ask questions to both the accuser and the defendant
right.
in this political case.
Well, because I thought the call was to make sure that she was heard. Well, if they're not asking questions and they're making a statement, that means they're taking away from her time. Are they not?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's where we are right now. Other news out there. Rod Rosenstein, not fired.
No, and hasn't resigned.
Hasn't resigned?
That may change on Thursday.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens here in this case. Look, we've said from the very beginning, Rosenstein should have never been there. He signed off on one of the warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And as Andrew McCarthy tore him apart yesterday, Rod Rosenstein is even a weasel when repudiating his weasel moves. But he talks about how he responded to the New York Times article. He says, the New York Times article is inaccurate and factually incorrect. I will not further comment on the story based on anonymous sources who are obviously biased against the department and are advancing their own personal agenda. But let me be clear about this. Based on my personal dealings with the president, there is no basis to invoke the 25th Amendment. Well, let's parse this. The Times story is inaccurate and factually inaccurate. Rosenstein won't exactly say what's wrong in this report. He is careful not to say that the gist of the report is wrong. He just hopes that if he sounds indignant enough, you'll hear it that way. The Times may have gotten a few details wrong, but you can bet the story is essentially true. Oh. Andrew McCarthy's believing the New York Times here. That's just a statement. That was not a judgment. If that came out as a judgment, it is not. It was just a statement. that you may take as a judgment, but it wasn't meant that way. Rosenstein says you can't trust anonymous sources. This from the guy who, in approving a FISA warrant application to spy on an American political campaign, relied on anonymous sources, some of them Russian operatives, who were channeling information through a foreign spy from whom the Justice Department continued to take information even after telling the federal court that the spy had been cut out of the investigation for leaking to the media. Wow. And my favorite, Rosenstein knows there is no basis to invoke the 25th Amendment against President Trump. Of course, he does not respond to what the Times report actually says, which is back in May of 2017, when he was an emotional wreck because Democrats were being mean to him. Rosenstein urged that there might, at that time, be a basis to remove the president under the 25th Amendment if he could get enough top officials to agree that Trump was unfit to discharge his duties. The Times account is based on multiple unnamed sources and draws on memoranda about interactions with Rosenstein written by the FBI's former deputy director, Andrew McCabe, and other officials. So there you go.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. Look, Rosenstein should have never been there. If he signed off on one of the FISA warrants, he shouldn't be involved in overseeing the Mueller investigation at all. And even though he isn't probably involved in the day-to-day investigation, it taints it right there because there's a huge conflict of interest.
Yeah. There is, and because if you're going to make the point, and I guess that A.G. Sessions actually made the point himself when he recused himself, then if that's justified, his recusal, then a deputy A.G., it would be certainly justified.
Now, there's here's a couple of interesting points. Conservatives in the media immediately jumped out and said, well, the guy that would replace him, the Solicitor General, is, somebody that we like. We would like him in there. Mm-hmm. The other point is the zoo that happened with the media yesterday and the zoo that would happen if Trump fired him. Should Trump wait until after the midterm? Should he wait till after January in order to do something like this? Is it going to change the outcome of the Mueller investigation for him?
Hmm.
No. I would love to be a fly in the wall to see what discussions they've already had, what the discussions was between him and Kelly, and also a phone call between him and the president today, and then he sits down with the president on Thursday.
What else is happening Thursday?
Yes.
I don't know, but if I'm Chuck Todd, I wouldn't want to miss work that day.
So as well as he may be a albatross, at least a political albatross around your neck right now. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the right move is for the president.
I don't think now. I don't think you do anything right now.
I will tell you though, and because I'm torn on this one, because if it was me and I was president and this was done, you're fired.
Yeah, right.
But that's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and looking at it from, if it was me and I'm president and this was my deputy attorney general and I knew this was going, you're fired immediately. As soon as you're in the office, did this happen? And other, did this happen? Be honest with me. Yes or no? Okay, I want your resignation right now.
Right.
As normally, some wait till they get fired. Some give you their resignation so they can say they resigned. And then they go write the book and tell everybody that they didn't.
It's also different in the process as to who becomes the acting deputy AG. If he resigns, the president has the power to immediately appoint an acting deputy AG. But it's a little more of a process if he's fired.
So, in this case, I don't know what the president actually wants to do. You and I talked about the measured response. And really, except for the tweet the president put out last week going after Ford,
right,
Ms. Ford,
right,
we talked, and it was funny because I'd said, oh, he's been so good on this, he'll probably, I said, I shouldn't say this. I said this early Friday morning. I said, I probably shouldn't say this because I'll blow it. An hour and a half later, he put out the Ford tweet, which is like, oh, God. But he's been the president. We are suggesting here on Red Eye Radio that someone has gotten to the president on his tweets.
I think there's someone who has
likely created a very real picture of what needs to happen between now and November in terms of the president's...
The Mad Englishman.
Probably not. It could be. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not. That's, you know, because I think they're... You've heard a different tone, even with the whole Rosenstein thing yesterday.
By the way, the English did get to him, though, because that's why... Because it was English government that got him to say with the FISA application and the other things that he wanted released, it was Great Britain that said, "Well, look, we want to make sure you don't burn Christopher Steele too bad onto what he knows," and it doesn't mean that they know what was in it, but that's why he went to the Inspector General. We believe is because of Great Britain. So the Mad Englishman may have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but right.
But with Rosen, I got to tell you, I know it was me, he'd be fired. But I don't know the dynamics that are going on here. I don't know politically or even, it's not going to stop the Mueller investigation. The Mueller investigation is going along. So that's not going to stop it whatsoever. The Democrats would claim it, but it's not. This would be a firing because you're working against my best interest.
Well, because, you know, the comment about the wire, you know, the whole thing, immediately when it came out on Friday and over the weekend it was being discussed, well, everyone knew he was just joking. It was just tongue in cheek. I'm guessing the president wants to look him in the eye and say, all right, tell me what happened.
Was it Brit Hume, I think, that said it was sarcasm.
Right, yeah.
It might not have been a joke, but it was sarcastic
or whatever. Right, it wasn't meant to be a serious point. It wasn't a serious suggestion, which may be why the president wants to sit down with him face-to-face and go, look, was it sarcasm? Certainly you didn't mean that in all seriousness. And I probably look him in the eye and ask him, look, are you wanting to resign? Are you wanting to step down? Because that was the word that first came out, that he was anticipating getting fired after what came out on Friday. And so on Monday, he was on his way to resigning. If you're really looking to leave, then I'm not going to stop you, but I'm not going to fire you. Because politically, I don't think he can fire him just yet. I think before the midterms, I think would probably be a bad move. You already know what you have in Rosenstein. Everybody knows that he shouldn't be there long term. But really, right now, especially, this is about timing.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Back in late March, U.S. and South Korean trade officials announced an agreement in principle to a newly renegotiated U.S.-South Korean Free Trade Agreement, or CORUS. And finally, in New York Monday, President Trump and his South Korean counterpart signed a document
pledging that our countries will take the additional necessary steps to implement the new United States-Korea Trade Agreement.
He said the agreement settles some problems concerning automobile trade and such, but also...
I think our farmers are going to be extremely happy. It was very limited as to what they could do and what they could send, and now it's a open market.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Undersecretary for Trade, Ted McKinney, told members of the United Fresh Produce Association in Washington he hopes the agreement will improve U.S. ag sales.
And I also hope out of CORUS comes some ease of product in and out of the ports, because those ports can be boogers. So let's hope that some of the negotiations that settled CORUS will help your products get in and out of Korea.
In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, more of your calls and comments, and the audio cut that we had played earlier. I'm calling it the audio cut of the day. That really, in just a very short segment, encapsulates everything that is going on right now.
Yeah, I think so. For OmniTrax, here's your forecast.
Plenty of rain this week. Extend from Texas through Oklahoma, Arkansas, the lower Ohio Valley, right up through Indiana and into the Great Lakes. Good amount of showers for that region, just where it's not needed this time of year in agriculture, where it's preferred that the corn and fields remain dry. Plenty of rain this summer, and now that we're into fall, seems as though we're beginning this season on the wet side as well. The exception here would be the west. West of the Rockies, things remain dry. The U.S. Drought Monitor puts the driest areas of the nation right in the Four Corners region of the desert southwest and in the state of Oregon. And we're quickly wiping out any drought concerns in central and northern Texas. L.A. today will be at 82 degrees. Dallas, thunderstorms, 85. Chicago, mid-70s under partly cloudy skies. New York, mostly cloudy, 74. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Deservedly been called every name in the book. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
Well, and that means sometimes it's a good name, too. Oh, okay. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, our audio cut of the day comes from Fox News from last night. Tucker Carlson, and he is not just giving the look at a clueless guest.
Right, like the Tucker look.
The Tucker look, like...
Yeah, with the eyebrows and everything. Right.
He's not talking to the usual... left winger radical from a college campus who is stating that the earth is really the moon and the moon is really the earth
and that robots have rights.
Yes, by the way, did you see that story from Houston very quickly?
Which one?
The sex doll brothel.
No. But we have to have known that that was on the way, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
And the best meme I saw yesterday, and it showed a, you know, one of the robots, sex doll robots, you know, very scantily clad, and the meme.
Scantily clad robot.
Yes.
Yeah, I call it a Dyson vacuum cleaner.
and the meme. The meme said, my sex robot is very realistic. Uh-huh. Only wants to be my friend.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Always says no.
Only wants to be my friend. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Like, that was good. I mean,
No, no, and no.
Exactly, big guy. He knows what's up.
All right, so our audio cut of the day comes from Tucker Carlson. In all seriousness, talking to two very knowledgeable people.
Yeah.
Tammy Bruce, a well-known conservative talk show host, and Heather McDonald. Heather McDonald, who did a lot of the research on actual cop shootings and took the figures on it and really upset the left when she said, look, there's not an epidemic of shootings out there.
Right.
Never has been. She has also gone after the rape culture that liberals say exists on college campuses and has come out and said all the statistics show it's not true. So, right. Of course, they have been viewed as very controversial. But Tucker Carlson, and he starts out talking with Heather McDonald, the author, I think she, The Diversity Divide, I think is the last book that she wrote. But he starts out talking with her and then goes to Tammy Bruce. And in just this short segment, they really wrap up what's been going on with the Brett Kavanaugh nomination and all the allegations against him. Here it is.
How should we assess these claims, both in the New Yorker story and from Christine Ford?
Well, with our traditional standards of justice, obviously, what we're looking at right now, Tucker, is the arrival of campus culture into the world at large, and it is not a pretty sight. It's a combination of rank ignorance, of what an extraordinary accomplishment it was to develop standards of due process. You referred to medieval trials by ordeal and the presumption of guilt. What we're hearing from students and these senators, they have no knowledge of what we have with difficulty and the work of centuries moved away from to assure fairness to the accused. And what we're also seeing is the victim ideology that holds that females everywhere are necessarily the victims of male patriarchy and a rape culture. That is false. It is pure ideology. But this type of mass hysteria is the norm on campus, and it has now taken over the world at large. And as you say, we right. are on a very dangerous, slippery slope towards government oppression and mass injustice.
Tammy Bruce, you agree with that?
Yes. This interview you just had was shocking. You've got now Brett Kavanaugh effectively being used as a stand-in for all perpetrators. And I think something happened to Ms. Ramirez and Dr. Ford. And they are slotting Judge Kavanaugh into the perpetrator framework. And in the name of women and many who have not ever had justice and have never had closure, and effectively this is what the Democrats are admitting. And what your guest said effectively was that so many women have not been believed or have been heard. And that is unfair, and we've got to fix it. But we're not going to fix it by becoming fascists and by blaming every man and presuming every man is guilty. Americans have to ask themselves a very basic question. Is this fair? Is this a fair framework right. for everyone involved? The Me Too movement at this point has been hijacked.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to is that, you know, she uses the word hijacked, but really it has been co-opted here by a group of lawmakers and protesters that are going to see this as the ushering in of, and it doesn't matter who gets damaged along the way, but anybody that we don't like, we're going to just throw this out and you're going to be the target. And there is no burden of proof here. Only the accusations that matter, and that the person making the accusation, it is implied that they are beyond reproach. This is exactly what you're seeing with Ford's lawyers, and saying that they protest or they disagree with this a committee's insistence that there be this unnamed, I guess, a person that is going to ask her questions, their client questions. Well, why does it matter? Well, see, they don't want anyone who is a female asking her questions. Why not? Because they don't get the theatrics of it. They don't get the effect of a mean old guy lawmaker politically who would get the negative effect of questioning anyone who's making this claim. Again, she is to be believed. How many of you had right now, so far, in the Senate that say, I believe her? And we knew it was coming. We predicted mm-hmm. it. We said that will be the hashtag from this. I believe her. I believe her. Based on what?
Well, and yeah, exactly. We've heard that over and over again. And then we've heard from, you know, senators, leaders of their own party, state that, well, because of the decisions that he made, he's not credible because of his legal decisions that he has made.
Right.
So we believe because of his legal decisions of believing that he should not make up law, that he should follow what the Constitution says, that means that he is a potential rapist, that mm-hmm. he is somebody who attempted to rape a woman. That's the point that the Democrats were actually making. Think about that. Think about and we had started out the show with this. Just think about over the last week the messages that they have sent out, that the woman is always to be believed and the man cannot be believed. And the man is guilty because of a judicial philosophy that is based on the responsibilities and the authority given to him under the Constitution of the United States. It doesn't make any sense to begin with because it doesn't need to make any sense.
Right.
It's bigoted. It's intolerant. It's wrong.
Yeah.
And as Tammy Bruce said, and we said earlier, it's fascism.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's fascism. And when you look at Ted Cruz, who was forced out of the restaurant in Washington, D.C., by the group whose claims that they're trying to, you know, that took the video of it, that's against fascism, against racism.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go in and they make it so the only Hispanic in the Senate race in the state of Texas has to leave the restaurant, and they're anti-racist.
Right.
We love that one. But the fact is they walk into a private restaurant when they were not invited and were told to get out. They invade somebody else's private property, somebody else's private space, and then calls that person a fascist.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up, and Ted Cruz is probably saying, thank you so much, you have helped my campaign. Was brought up in the discussion there, is it fair? And we're talking about a sense of when somebody is accused of something, and Americans understand what fairness is. Americans do understand. Even most Democrats understand, because most Democrats and most Republicans have served on a jury one time and have followed the judge's order.
Yeah, right.
Which is, you need to follow the law, and there needs to be evidence. And here's what you need in order to get this type of prosecution. These are the rules and regulations here. And they follow it. And they understand that an allegation itself means nothing, irrespective of whether it comes from a man or woman. Neither is to be believed because of the seriousness of the allegation. It's the substance of the evidence that backs the allegation.
Right.
And that's where the Democrats may be overplaying their hand big time on this, trying to convince the American public that women are always right, men are always wrong.
Well, in the case of Dr. Ford, if there's any lawmaker to be blamed here for her not being believed, it's Dianne Feinstein. She had the opportunity to put this in front of the committee to make sure that the chairman knew about it right away, but even more so, while keeping Dr. Ford's identity secret, having the FBI vet that during the vetting process. She made that choice. It won't be Ted Cruz. It won't be Grassley or anyone else. If there's one lawmaker, if anyone on the left wants to blame a lawmaker for Dr. Ford not being believed, it starts and ends with Feinstein.
Yep. The other thing is, and we have said this a couple times today, we still don't know whether Ford's going to testify and whether there will ever be any hearing.
I have my doubts.
To begin with, apparently the lawyers object to, and they believe that it will be a circus if a trained prosecutor, because that's what they're talking about, a trained prosecutor that understands sexual crimes, questions both her and Kavanaugh.
Right. By the way, you would think a prosecutor, if I'm one being accused, a prosecutor is usually somebody who is better at questioning and basically grilling the accused.
New York Times already has stated that the four Democratic women on the Judiciary Committee will not ask any questions, but just make statements. Well, you want to turn it into a circus? That will turn it into a circus.
Yep.
Because you're not if you care about hearing her, you'll ask her questions.
Right.
And
right.
You'll ask Kavanaugh questions.
You've been screaming that she needs to be heard, but you insist that only you during heard. Your time be heard.
866-90-RED-EYE.
How much do you know about synthetic oil? Heavy-duty trucks have been running on traditional mineral oil for the last 100 years. But today's technology brings us other options to consider. It's better quality. Unlike mineral oils, synthetic oils have a consistent molecular structure, giving it the ability to support pressures from higher horsepower engines, especially at lower RPMs. It also allows oil to reduce friction in an engine, controlling temperatures and improving fuel economy. They're cleaner. Synthetics pick up fewer contaminants as they do their job of lubrication. They also have better oxidation stability, resulting in an overall cleaner engine. Synthetic and semi-synthetic oil may be a bigger investment up front, but the benefits of its high-quality composition will pay off in the long run.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So we may see developments today. I mean, we're just 2 days out as to whether the negotiations are continuing between Ms. Ford's lawyer and the Senate Judiciary Committee and Chuck Grassley.
Well, because her prepared statement is due 10 a.m. Eastern Wednesday.
Yep.
Along with her biography. She has to have her bio and prepared statement to them. And even if that happens, she could cancel. But let's see if they meet that deadline first. So we have, you know, basically tomorrow, Wednesday, that we would be watching Wednesday morning to see if that happens or any development today where they say, no, she's not ready again or whatever protest they want to put up. It will be interesting to see where that Ramirez story goes.
Well, what about Evanetti tomorrow?
Oh, well, and that now story. He's saying, because he said on Monday, well, in 48 hours, I'm going to reveal this story.
Right, but we first thought it was going to be on Chris Cuomo's show on CNN, which it was not.
Right.
So he's moved it back another 48 hours.
Which would be Wednesday evening on the eve of course, the would-be hearing, if, the hearing does happen.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.